Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
This is going to be the slow version. Oh, wait. Pull up the lyrics.
Either smile and presence in the snow.
Presence in the snow.
Everybody knows. A chocolate and some mistletoe.
No, it's not turkey. It's a turkey.
Some turkey.
Turkey and stuffing for you too.
Just look up the lyrics quick.
Oh man.
Yuletide carols singing time after time.
No, that's so wrong.
It's being sung by a choir.
Yes. Time after time.
And frost nipping at your nose.
Folks dressed up like Eskimos?
Dressed up like Eskimos. Hello and welcome to the 16th episode of Between the Pixels. I'm Jared.
I'm Devin.
Oh, Merry Christmas. I forgot to say that. Merry Christmas, Between the Pixels, 16, Merry Christmas.
Do you want to do it all over again?
Merry Christmas,
I'm Jared.
Harry.
No, go.
I'm Devin.
I'm Brian.
I'm Devin.
I'm Dylan.
And this is Between the Pixels. Merry Christmas.
This is us.
Merry Christmas, Harry.
We are recording on Christmas Day.
Woo! Because we're that dedicated. We're that awesome. Guys, we love you so much. We're sacrificing our Christmas for you.
This is true. How was everyone's Christmas?
Well, now it's ruined.
Yeah.
I'm doing a podcast. I had to be home for a podcast. You know how humiliating that is to say to my parents?
Yeah,
yeah, I got to be home by 8. All for what? For a podcast.
Nothing. I've got to go drink and bang chicks.
And then I get this whole... My parents still do this. Well, what's that? Something I'm not going to explain to you. That's for sure.
Devin, your parents don't know what you do.
No, they don't. It's just completely secretive.
They bought you all that recording equipment and they don't know what you do?
Absolutely. They have no idea what I bought. She just gives me the card. She just gives me the card.
That's pretty good.
Try explaining this to your fiancé's parents. Why you can't hang out with them for more than an hour and a half and sitting there yelling at you for being a loser. Well, what's so important about this podcast?
We won't be popular on the internet.
It would be completely different if I was just... As long as at the end I could just be like, I'm getting paid for this. It would be a whole different story.
Oh, yeah, it would. If there was money coming
in. Oh, of course. Like, yes. Hey, this is my job.
Yeah.
Well, maybe someday, guys. Maybe someday.
That's what we're working towards.
Exactly.
I always feel the same way, too. Like, my dad or something would be like, why? What are you doing? I have a podcast.
you say it, really low underneath your breath.
Like, I'm busy, Dad. Doing what? I have to edit a podcast all day.
And not get any sleep.
Yeah. And he's just going to be like, are you jerking it in there?
That's usually my conversation.
That's like a really elaborate lie, though, for that.
I created this fake website and everything so I could just masturbate.
Are you jerking it? No. I'm doing a podcast. Don't come in.
For 8 hours straight.
I created a website and I made this fake podcast that I supposedly meet up at certain times to podcast. Really, I'm just jerking it.
It's also like a really, really specific time to be jerking at 8 o'clock every Sunday. No, this is my me time. Leave me alone.
You guys don't have a time schedule for yours?
Does anyone get cool stuff for Christmas?
I think I'm the only one who gets a bunch of stuff for Christmas still.
Yeah, because you're 14.
As if I'm like 12, yeah.
Well, for my friends, I got awesome stuff. I got Rise Against tickets, and then I got a replica of the Keyblade from Kingdom Hearts.
Is it to scale?
It's full size.
That's awesome.
What?
Yeah, it's really cool, especially because that's my favorite game of all time.
I got a gift card to Tractor Supply and a pair of shoes.
Why Tractor Supply?
Are you being serious about that, Brian?
That's yeah, I know. It's like...
I got a rock.
I got a pet rock.
I got one awesome thing, though. I got a moose
it's
lamp.
A chia pet. Oh.
A Snuggie. Everyone loves those, right?
That's my full-size replica Keyblade. That's my comparison, as a moose lamp.
A moose lamp. That's
lamp.
Pretty good.
For me, it's cool.
Is it like a full-size moose, or is it like a head of a moose?
It's like, it has like mooses on it and stuff.
It's like a full-size dead moose.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah.
They want you to die, Brian.
It's just a huge carcass with a light in it.
And the light's in its, inside its skull, and the light just comes out of its eyes and mouth.
That's like stabbed in the stomach.
It's got a ninja inside it.
It hasn't quite yet been finished being taxidermied yet, but whatever, who cares? Just only kind of smells.
It's just not surprising that you would have something like that, Brian.
I know, that's the worst part, and I don't know, like the gift card to Tractor Supply I'm going to use, but it's just like one of those awkward things like, I want to buy a power tool. Which one should I buy?
Well, do you need a supplies drill for your tractor?
Or a hammer? I don't know. Is a hammer a power tool? No.
You're like a power drill. That's pretty manly, right?
Like picture yeah. a woman going into a tool store. That's what it's going to be like. That one's pretty. I want that one.
Because you're a woman.
No, because I don't know anything about tools. I know how to use them, just don't know anything about their names.
Yeah, or... I mean, like, who got that for you? Your parents?
Yeah, it's like they don't know me. Like,
yeah,
was it some? Maybe it was like a way of just saying like, "Hey, Brian,
grow a pair of balls.
You need to be more of a man."
Yeah, why don't you grow up and be a man?
Yeah, my dad's like the only one in my family that gets me. My dad got me a Flyers hoodie, and that was the only gift from my family that was like, "Oh, cool."
Well, what I got, and now I got a Droid 3 phone, which.
Nice.
I got that a while ago, and my dad helped pay for some of that. But then on Christmas Day, I got this flannel shirt thing.
Oh, dude.
I got some Old Spice body wash.
Me too.
And a shaving kit bag. Oh,
they
I got new sheets for
want you to be a lumberjack.
Basically, my parents are like, yeah, you need to start dressing like a lumberjack, and you stink.
And smelling like a lumberjack.
Wait, you got rid of your cowboy ripped up sheets?
No. My cowboy sheets aren't ripped up. I have cowboy sheets on my bed, but they're not really for a full-size bed. And which, by the way, Chandler, who was on a couple weeks ago, it's actually his bed, so I've been sleeping in Chandler's bed for, like...
His mattress?
Anyway.
It's like a race car bed.
It's a long story. I wish it was.
Of course you do.
But he had cowboy sheets with it, so... I inherited these cowboy
Dude,
sheets.
There was a line cut up through the middle of those things. You can't tell
me they
weren't
ripped. That's
not the
cowboy sheets. Those were a different pair of sheets.
Oh, okay.
But then, so my sister bought me new sheets for Christmas. So that's what I got.
That's nice.
Yeah. But I bought myself a bunch of stuff from like, there was a...
Merry Christmas to me.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Well, there was a huge sale going on at the Valve store. There's a huge sale on Steam and I bought some games there, but I also bought some stuff directly from the Valve store, a couple of lithographs from Portal 2, and
yeah, I was just informed that Knights of the Old Republic is on Steam for like $5.
Sweet,
it's a pretty good deal if I ever heard one. Because my buddy just got an awesome laptop for Christmas, and he got Skyrim with it, and it looks gorgeous. I'm like pretty much creaming over it right now, but yeah, it's like $5 for Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, I was totally thinking of Star Wars, The Old Republic. I was like, what? No way.
Well, it's the original, like Knights of the Old Republic for Xbox.
Right, but it's not the MMO.
No,
that's what I thought at first.
Although I hear that is badass. One of my employees keeps ranting about it.
I keep hearing mixed things. Like, it's awesome, but at the same time, it's just like, it's WoW, but better.
I mean, I'm okay with that, though. I mean, how much money is WoW made for being a good game? Like, if you look at... The thing that blows my mind away about it is that... The fact that they have like fully voiced cutscenes, fully animated cutscenes in an MMO, like that's pretty goddamn impressive.
It's not just read all this.
Yeah, exactly. It's a step forward, basically.
But how often do they do that? It's not for like every single quest, obviously. Is it?
I'm pretty sure it is, actually.
Really? Well,
for a lot of stuff, yeah.
I mean, for an MMO, that's a lot of voice acting. That's kind of like trying to voice act Final Fantasy VII times 10,
which would be awesome but absurd.
I plan on picking it up in the future, so we'll have more to say then. Hey, Devin, before we get into your crap load of games you got and stuff...
I didn't get a lot of stuff.
Well, whatever. We'll do some quick house cleaning. We're from pixelperfectmag.com. It's a website. Check it out. Quality content going up every day. News articles, stuff.
There's a lot more stuff that's going to be happening for the new year, too. I don't really know what, but there's a lot.
But good stuff, nonetheless.
I don't know. We want to bring some videos in, start doing that kind of content. Hopefully we got some ideas that we can put stuff out next month.
Hopefully we'll have stuff.
We'll have something. Well, we gotta have more. That's the most important part. We'll have more stuff out. New little score every Saturday. Somehow
new little score every Saturday.
They still have enough ideas to keep making those. I'm pretty sure I'd run out of ideas for making a comic, even though I'm no artist or anything like that.
you should give us some feedback on it. Let us know. Specifically, let Justin know. Justin Pintabona, the guy who writes and draws everything. So check it out.
So he's like an artist.
Yeah, so he's like an artist.
Yeah, so he draws.
He's kind of like that.
More or less. Anyway, back to the matter at hand. Devin, what did you get for Christmas?
Well, the most important thing that I got was I got a brand new mic and everything that comes with it. I got a stand, a mixer, a pop filter with it. I don't have the pop filter yet, but actually I ordered on Amazon this past Wednesday and I got it in 2 days on Friday, this past Friday, and I didn't even pay for shipping. Like, I chose the 5 to 8 day shipping. I still got it in 2 days, so that was pretty cool, so I could still have it for this podcast. So that was the biggest thing I got. And then for Christmas Day, I got a 3DS with Ocarina of Time. And yeah, finally a 3DS. Like, I have never had like a Nintendo handheld system since the SP.
Oh, the 3DS is awesome, dude.
It is pretty cool. I've been
actually,
playing
I'm really
day.
Happy because like I got mine on day one. So, you know, they did the virtual console stuff for all the people that got it on
the
day
ambassadors.
One.
Yeah, you got all that.
Yeah,
crap.
The ambassador program. So I've been playing Fire Emblem Sacred Stones like all week. One of my all time favorite games.
That's something I regret not buying it earlier just so I could get those games.
Yeah, it's 20 free games. I mean, 10 NES games and 10 GBA games.
And they're really good games.
It's quality, like Legend of Zelda Minish Cap, Sacred Stones, the original WarioWare, Yoshi's Island, Kirby Amazing Mirror, which I never got to play, and that's really good. A lot of quality titles.
And those are the ones that you can't buy. They're not released
yet.
For everybody else.
Not yet.
Are they planning on actually having that? Being able to
I
buy
think
eventually?
So at some point. I hope so at some point, because it would be a shame if people that own a 3DS but never had a GBA missed out on games like Sacred Stones and Minish Cap.
Fuck, this is just...
Brian's really torn up about it.
Yeah, he's so mad he doesn't have a 3DS.
God, people aren't getting Sacred Stones. No, I just hate you fuckers for, you know, getting good shit. I hate you all. I hope you all die.
Brian, you get a Tractor Supply Company gift card, and we get like.
You can't complain about that. You get to buy hammers and screwdrivers and stuff. Come on.
Maybe you can fix your $600 motherboard and put a computer together.
Then you can give them to Jared to use with his lumberjack outfit.
Yeah. I'll build you stuff. I'm Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Anyway, I finally got Uncharted 3. I've been wanting it ever since it came out. I just had never had the
amazing.
Money to buy it. Yeah. I haven't played it today, though. I've only been playing Ocarina of Time. For some reason, I've never played Ocarina of Time. But
really?
Now is a good time to start. Yep. I never had into 64.
It's definitely a good way to start playing the game, because like, I've played the game through all of its iterations. Like, I have it downloaded on my Wii. I have the GameCube version. I had the original N64 version. And I have the 3DS version. And the 3DS one's definitely the best. Like, they added a lot of really cool stuff. Like, the graphics are way better, obviously, but... Little touches, like being able to use the gyros in the 3DS to aim your bow and your slingshot is nice. I think my favorite thing is, this doesn't affect me at all, but for the younger gamers that maybe weren't able to play it originally, there's a lot of little hints and stuff that you couldn't get in the original. Like the gossip stones or whatever, you can actually like crawl into the bigger ones and it's like, oh, here's hints on what to do.
Yeah, those are kind of cool. They're kind of like tutorial things. You just go in there and just... You can actually see like video walkthroughs of kind of where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I've looked at them, but I haven't really used them for anything yet.
Neither have
I. Needed to, but hopefully I won't run into anything.
I'm just glad that game got released, got updated and released again for a lot of younger gamers to get to play. Because I mean, a lot of us agree that Ocarina of Time is a great Zelda game and a great game altogether. But you can also, if that's one of those games when you play it, you can see how it's influenced so many other games that have come out since then. And it's kind of nice just for younger gamers to play that and hopefully realize that also.
No, this is why it's this year's game of the year for Between the Pixels.
Actually, it's not.
There was a great article on IGN about like Zelda and how it's influenced gaming in general, and like Ocarina of Time was obviously the big one. It was talking about how it introduced like the Z targeting back in the day, like the ability to lock onto an enemy and circle him, attack him, that kind of thing. And it just introduced so many concepts that are so prevalent in the gaming world today.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you guys been playing any other games other than your Christmas stuff?
Like I said, I've been playing Sacred Stones a lot, which is excellent. I don't know how many people have... Have you guys played the Fire Emblem series at all?
I haven't. I really should, but I haven't.
Fire Emblems, it's probably my favorite tactics/strategy series.
That's probably why I haven't played it.
Oh, okay.
I'm not into those.
I'm a huge fan of tactics games in general, especially if it's like a tactics RPG. But like the thing I love so much about Fire Emblem is that it's none of the stats are completely obligatory. Like pretty much any RPG ever made, you look at it and it's like, okay, I'm doing 500 damage this hit. Now I'm doing 200. Now I'm doing 700. Why is this so random? Whereas with Fire Emblem, it's literally your strength plus your weapon damage minus their defense. If you have 4 more speed than your opponent, you get to attack twice per turn. That's it. So it's like really mathematical, and you can actually look at a battlefield before you even start your turn and be like, all right, if I do this, 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 and this, there's only like a 6% chance that something bad will happen.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of planning involved, and the class system's great, the leveling system's cool. The random element to the levels is what drew me in at first, because like I've had endless debates with friends over who the best Fire Emblem characters are, because when you level up, each character, depending on their class, has a percentage chance of each stack going up. So like there's like, you know, strength, defense, resistance, speed, skill, HP, luck. So each of those has a chance of going up every level up. But like, you know, for the big tank characters like generals, obviously they're going to get more defense and strength than other classes, but lower speed. But like for the swordmaster class, like you're going to get really high speed and skill, but not as much strength or defense. So like each class has a different max stat too. So like a general maxes out strength at 30, whereas a swordmaster maxes out strength at 24, that kind of thing. But then with the swordmaster's extra skill, they're doing critical hits way more often. So you really have to balance a lot of knowledge of the game.
I haven't played really anything this week. Me and Devin played some Magicka. That was on sale on Steam. So yeah. We got that. Played some of that. It's a up to four player co-op game where everyone's mages. And it's obviously on PC, and you use the QWERASDF keys, and each one's assigned a different element. So there's like earth, water, fire,
lightning, arcane.
And basically you combine those. You can combine up to 6 combinations, and it creates different spells. And it's pretty interesting because it's all done on the fly. You don't have any magic or any mana.
I was going to say, you don't have any magic. That seems inappropriate in a game called Magicka.
You're actually just warriors.
You're lawyers.
It's Phoenix Wright.
Exactly. They just changed the name.
And but yeah, you just combine different things to create different spells. And there's a whole slew of things that I couldn't even possibly get into to describe. But there's basic things about just where you're just shooting spells, or you can create like AoE spells. You can create defenses. You can do different things to heal each other, to revive each other. A lot of different things and a lot of different combinations.
I get pretty frustrated with it, actually.
Why is that?
Because my hand placements and stuff, like I end up doing the same thing over and over, because there's only a couple things that I memorize and that I think that are effective against enemies, so I actually don't change it up much to do all different kinds of things. But also with you, like when we play two different type of characters, I don't know, just by the type of robe, I guess, you pick when you start with your character, since you are both mages. And Jared actually heals himself through lightning, and mine's just like the green health, I guess, that I use.
Just
so every single
time
so I can like shoot a lightning bolt that will hit like 3 enemies, because it kind of like does like a circuit. And if it hits Jared as well, it will heal him.
Oh, that's pretty handy.
While I'm damaging other enemies too. So sometimes I forget, and like I'll hit him with my green stuff, and I don't even think
it doesn't do anything for me either. I mean, that's the one thing. The one thing about it is it's a lot of fun trying to figure out the different combinations of stuff and try different things out. But at the same time, that's also the problem, because you have 8 different keys and 8 different spells you're working with, and then however many combinations that is.
A lot.
Up to six rows. Or up to 6 placements of spells, plus that you have 8 different spells. It's a lot of combinations of things you can try to put together. And it's really hard to remember, like Devin said, certain things. So you kind of end up spamming the same thing over and over.
So basically you, like, from what I can understand, you mix spells to create other spells in certain orders?
Yeah, I mean, like, you could just hit, like, the lightning once and just shoot a regular lightning. Or maybe you could hit, like, lightning, earth, and arcane. I'm just making these up. I don't remember any of them. But that might throw down like an AoE where of like these balls in the ground that if an enemy walks over them, they explode and create this area of effect.
See, that's kind of cool. That reminds me of this one DS game I got like 5 years ago, like right around when the DS first came out. It was called Lost Magic. You guys ever hear of it?
Yeah, that was like one of the first DS games I bought.
Yeah, it was an awesome game.
If not, it was hard. Well, after a while, it got hard.
It got really hard, but it kind of reminds me of that with the whole mixing of spells.
Well, with those AoEs, they were, didn't you have to press the shield button to drop those? They kind of like blocked you from getting hit by the enemy or in front of you. Because you have like a shield button, and you can combine that with like all different kinds of things to make like an actual shield of whatever you chose.
Yeah, like, so you like lightning shield, fire shield.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it has a lot of cool combinations, and it is a goofier game. There's no real language in it. They have like this funny made-up language. It also kind of sounds like Simoleon, I think is what they call it in The Sims.
Simish,
is that what it is?
I think
isn't
so.
Simoleon a real thing?
That's definitely a real thing.
Yeah, that's a real language.
I think they call it like,
it's like Animal Crossing,
like English or something. I don't know.
Yeah, some made up language,
English.
So it's kind of funny and goofy in that sense. So that's fun, but at the same time, it has some difficult things to remember. But it's cool.
We need people to play with us.
Yeah. We need two more people to play, so...
I'm definitely down.
I might get in on that, yeah.
Yeah, you should.
How could I not be down for something so awesome sounding as that?
Something so
plus,
awesome.
It's magic. Everyone loves magic.
Magic.
No, they're lawyers. They're lawyers.
Oh, I mean, it's lawyers. Everyone loves lawyers. We sit there
magic
and
lawyers.
We cast different objections.
And then just get rich. For winning cases.
We chase
objections.
Ambulances. That's all I've been playing.
Oh, one other thing I got. I got a $50 game... stop gift card.
Oh yeah,
I hate you all. God.
Oh wait. I'm not done. I got 3200. I got 3200 points, Microsoft points, and I got a year of Xbox Live subscription.
Nice.
Wow.
That's the good stuff.
You know what I love about Xbox Live? Like, I've had my Xbox for so long. Like, I got it right around when Oblivion first came out, and I've had Xbox Live since then. So like. For a while, I had it on my debit card where it automatically took money out of my account, but then, like, 1 month, I just didn't have the money for it. So I called him up. I was like, yeah, I just need to cancel my Xbox Live. I'm going to get it again, but, you know, at this point, I'm kind of out of money. And they were like, oh, we'll give you a month for a dollar. How's that sound? I was like, okay, sure.
No way.
So then that month ran out, and I talked to him again, and I was like, yeah, so, you know, while I really appreciate what you guys did for me last time, I just don't have the money in my account right now. If you could just cancel it, I'll get it later. They're like, well, we'll give you a year for $35. I was like, I mean, that's great and all, but I just don't have the money in my account. They're like, well, we won't charge you till next month. How's that? And I was like, all right, shit, I'll take
yeah,
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
What? Wow, I wish I would have begged for me to do that. I've called multiple times to cancel my account, and they never said anything. They're just like, oh, sorry about that. Bye. That's about the end of it.
I've had such a struggle to cancel things. Like,
you can do that online now, though.
Yeah, no, it's gotten a lot better. But Dylan, did you play Phantasy Star Universe at all?
Yes, I did, and that was a pain to cancel.
Yeah, I paid for it like for 2 years or something, because I got to the point where I was like, screw it, I don't even care, and I was just paying $10 a month for a game that I never played. I played for like 2 months.
But that was that was on Xbox, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was on 360, and it was on PS2, but you couldn't play online, and then PC.
Yeah,
it was a good game. I really enjoyed it. It wasn't as good as Phantasy Star Online, but it was really good.
It was like $10 a month.
Yeah,
and maybe it wasn't 2 years, but it was like at least a year. And I played for maybe the first 2 months.
Yeah, that's about how it went with me too.
And then it was over a year before I even got it canceled. I don't know how long and how much money I paid, but because it was so hard, you couldn't cancel it from the console or online. You had to call them, and you'd wait on the phone forever. It's just like the worst.
That's annoying.
And you have to listen to elevator music.
Mm-hmm. For like 30 minutes.
That's my favorite part. Come on now, guys.
It's like the intermission in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Doo-loo, 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 doo-loo. You're like, oh, God, make it stop.
Well, I had like a month recurring one just because I just want to buy 1 month, but I use a card and it automatically does the recurring month and it charges you. And I forgot to do it like the day or like a day before, whatever. Because I think if you call and cancel it, I think it gets canceled completely. I don't know if you get to use your time. Because I think they said that you don't. Because the new way you do it is you have to go online to cancel it, so that way it doesn't renew. But if you call, they actually cancel your time right there and like deactivate you. But I called like
deactivate
the day.
You.
Yeah, completely.
Shut you
they
down.
Delete you from existence.
They shut you down.
They unplug you from the Matrix.
I called the day after it reoccurred for the next month, and I asked to cancel it and if I could get my money back, and they said they will not do that. Only if I had like the I think the 3 month recurring one or the year one, would they give you the money back?
Oh wow!
So that kind of sucks. That's obnoxious. So I had Xbox Live for another month, and I don't think I even played it the whole entire time. Oh, the question I have for you guys: what do you think I should get with $50 at GameStop?
Everything.
And I was deciding between Skyward Sword or another DS game.
What 3DS games do you have?
That's the only one I have, is the Ocarina of Time.
There are some pretty solid ones. I mean, most of the good ones are coming out in May, but Mario World 3D is really good.
I know, that's what I really wanted to get
Mario
to.
Kart is excellent. If it's between those and Skyward Sword, though, get Skyward Sword, dude. Like, Skyward Sword is one of the best games I've ever played.
But it's $50 for Skyward Sword, and I have to buy Motion Plus.
But you're also true. But you're also playing Ocarina right now, so I would...
Yeah, that's true.
I would say
that's
focus true. On Ocarina first, at least, and then before you try to jump into another Zelda.
Oh, speaking of Zelda, very interesting quick side note. Did you guys hear they actually released an official Legend of Zelda timeline?
Yeah, yeah.
No, yes. Really?
Nintendo put out like this book in Japan or whatever that contains a complete official timeline of Legend of Zelda, because they've always been really vague about it. Like, people have asked, oh, what's the timeline? How are these games connected? And they're like, well, we know, but we're not telling you.
Well, there's a lot of cool theories out there if you've read up on any of them.
Yeah, there were some really good theories. Yeah, basically Skyward Sword, I think, is the first one in the timeline.
Yes, yeah. It is.
Really?
There's basically...
It splits up into dimensions, doesn't it?
There's like three different dimensions. There's like... At the end of...
Yeah, it like splits it from the end of Ocarina.
Yeah, it's there's one where like where you defeat Ganon, there's one where you didn't defeat Ganon, and then there's one where when you go back to being a child.
Yeah.
Which, the one how you defeat Ganon doesn't make much sense.
No, it really doesn't.
But the other two make sense, like it splits into two different dimensions as Adult Link and Young Link. Yeah, I get that, but yeah, whatever. It's cool. We'll have the link in the show notes for anyone who hasn't seen it.
I can't wait to get that pirate version of that, because it's probably not going to, well...
I hope they release it over here.
Oh yeah, I'll buy it if they do.
They probably will. Zelda's huge over here.
Yeah.
I wonder if they were planning on that, waiting for the 25th anniversary to release the whole timeline thing.
They've been planning it for 23 years.
They're like, man, Zelda 1. I think after the 23rd anniversary, we're like,
Zelda 2 comes out, which is clearly a direct sequel, and they're like, man, we need a timeline right now.
Hopefully this takes off really well.
This is getting crazy.
Speaking of GameStop, I don't go into GameStop that often, but I did go in there the other day because the buy two get one free thing going on, and I just happened to see a collector's edition of Skyrim. The collector's guide.
Dude, you're kidding me.
Yeah, they dropped the price to $100.
Oh no, I didn't buy the actual. I was thinking about buying that. I bought the strategy guide.
Oh, the collector's guide. Yeah, that thing's nice.
And I checked online real quick just to see how much it was. It's going for like $50 or $60 online. So I ended up picking it up at GameStop. It was only $40. Yeah. That thing is amazing. I really love it. The only problem is like I take it up front to the guy, and he was like, not snotty about it, but kind of just, I don't know, I didn't like his tone, I guess. But he's like, you're finally getting this game after having Skyrim for how long? I'm like, well, it's for collector's reasons. I'm not going to look at it. So the guy that I checked out to was just kind of like snotty about it.
A douche in general?
You guys need to find the good GameStops, because there's a lot of
every GameStop around my area sucks. Like every single one.
Just come to Phoenixville and you'll be fine.
I just drive there all the time.
All right, cool.
So he was mad, like he said that you just finally started playing the game, or finally?
No, but he was just kind of like, why would you get the guy now after having the game for so long? I just want to be like, why don't you shut up and just ring up my stuff?
Yeah, really.
Unless you're gonna like be nice about it, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
The only problem is there's a cute girl that works there, so I'm gonna have to keep going back there. And be awkward. Can I help you? I gotta go. No, thank you. I'm leaving.
So you didn't open up the guide?
No, I did. I took the plastic off, and I was debating whether to take it off or not, but I ended up taking it off and then kind of flipping through it. Man, it's nice, though. It's really good quality.
Yeah, it really is nice.
And it's thick, which is awesome.
One of my favorite regulars at work, Scott, he was, like, super excited for Skyrim before it came out. Like, he's an old-school fan of the Elder Scrolls games, all of them, not just Oblivion. And, like... He got the collector's edition of the game, he got the collector's edition of the guide, and he comes in every once in a while and just like, so I did this, this, and this in Skyrim. He told me he went from far east coast of the map to far west coast of the map just straight walking, and it took him like 4 hours.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
I did that once in Oblivion too, and it's that sounds about right.
Oblivion was 4 hours.
Yeah, they're about the same size as far as the real estate.
Yeah, one of the things Todd Howard was saying is he's like, well, you know, it's about the same size as Oblivion, but the mountains make it feel bigger.
Well, I mean, there's the fact that it kind of there's a lot more like actual challenging fights too. You can't just kind of run through.
Yeah, you have to go around stuff.
Well, and no, like the fights though too. They're not just I'm gonna just go blindly swing my sword and get through it in 10 seconds.
So does anyone have any other games to talk about? Cause
no, let's move on.
We'll go on to our discussion here.
Well, we all have a game to talk about. I don't know, Dylan, did he?
No, he didn't do his cave story.
Do you want to talk about that next time?
Yeah, we'll save it. We'll save it for next week. Cave story.
We'll save cave story for next week.
Yeah, did you play a lot of cave story, Brian?
I did, actually.
I did, too.
I didn't play as much as you guys, but...
It was a fun game.
I actually have yet to play that game. I really want to pick that up on 3DS.
Whatever, let's talk about it real quick. Just real quick. We can talk more in depth later. What'd you guys think of
Cave
Story?
It's a story about a cave. I like it.
Alright, I like it, too.
Alright, done. Cool.
Controls are a little weird at first because they're a floaty, but you get used to it.
Well, yeah. Did you guys have to set your own controls? You know what I mean? Like customize them? Was that, like, the first thing that you did?
I didn't.
No, I was okay with the default.
I had some serious problems with them, but that's just my personal weirdness, not...
Well, maybe if you would stop setting it so that up is down. Jesus.
My game was set so that up is down, so...
You gotta stop doing that, man.
No, it was set by default, yo. Cave Story Makers did it to only my game. Oh, have you played it recently? Like, I don't know, last couple days?
Yeah.
Have you noticed that your character is now Santa Claus?
They did the Christmas update.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
I don't know there's an actual update. Like, I didn't download anything.
That's weird. I didn't even see that. I just played today.
Yeah. It was weird because there's actually a Santa. One of the characters is Santa. And he gives you a flame ball gun.
Well, anyway, more Cave Story next week. That was our quick thoughts. Cool game.
Yep, so far.
Well, let's move on to... We're going to talk about our discussion and then might hit up any news points at the end. That way we can get this whole discussion thing going while Dylan's here and available. So, we're talking about a digital revolution. In an article that our EIC, Justin Brennis, he wrote a couple weeks ago about how Peter Moore, the COO of EA, saw a big change on the horizon of gaming. It's a good read, so you should check it out. PixelPerfectMag.com. Just type in... like digital revolution in the search or something like that, you should find it. We're going to have a little discussion pertaining to some of the ideas and comments made in that article and from another article Justin wrote a few weeks after that about Chris Avalone, whatever, the COO at Obsidian Entertainment.
Oh my God.
Did you guys read either of these articles or have any idea what I'm talking about?
I read the one with the guy from Obsidian.
Okay. Well, basically... Peter Moore is discussing about how he sees in the near future a huge change coming into the gaming industry, how it's going to move a much more digital future. And we've already seen that now. I mean, in a lot of different ways, we've seen digital downloads and, you know, downloads on handhelds and smartphones and different things like that really blow up this year. So he said, this is one quote from Peter Moore. He says, companies that continue to rely on the old model as the model changes before our eyes, unless they change their ways and invest in the future, those companies eventually will die off. No two ways about it. The companies that have prepared themselves and have diversified their offerings to chase the consumer wherever they want to play games are the companies that will succeed and thrive and flourish. So what do you guys think of... I mean, first of all, there's 4 points I want to hit in this one, and I want to first look at how this could affect companies as far as the digital market in general.
Well... One of the big things that he touched on in the article was how, you know, if, you know, as far as the used game market, you know, if that disappears because of digital download becoming so prevalent, obviously if people can't buy used games, they're forced to buy new games, which means more money for the developers, which means a higher budget for the next game, which means eventually higher costs for games in general. So that one's obvious. But the thing with digital, I think a lot of companies are kind of preparing themselves pretty well. I know GameStop is one of them. We've started offering like actual like download codes for games, specifically for games. Like you can, instead of buying a disc for a game now, for some of them you can actually just buy a download for the game, which is really nice. And obviously we offer DLC, like map packs and add-ons and all kinds of stuff like that. You know, skins and stuff like that. I know some of the big ones recently were Batman Arkham City had the Robin and the Nightwing DLC, which have done pretty well. But it's... I definitely agree that it's going to end up becoming, eventually, not within the next 5 or 10 years probably, but it will eventually become a digital-only media. I read an article about the new Xbox console, and they were saying very explicitly that, no, we do not want to only offer downloaded titles for now, because disc-based media is such an inundated part of our culture, but that seems like it's the direction they do want to take eventually.
I mean... I don't know. It's kind of like, I see, I don't know if it's actually going to go all the way. I still think there's always going to be disc-based media. It's kind of like books. I mean, they have digital media now. I don't think books are ever going to go away. Not completely. They're not going to stop making books at any point, I don't think. And it's going to be the same for games. I don't think game consoles are going to stop having CD drives or, you know, whatever technology changes and whatever media turns into. They're still going to have... I don't think GameStop's ever going to stop selling physical copies.
I don't know. I mean, one of the big things about digital software as opposed to hard-based software on a disc is that it's a lot cheaper to make because you don't have to manufacture all those discs and stuff. So I can easily see game developing companies at some point completely going to digital simply because it costs them so much less. And again, that's something that would butt out the used game industry, and they'd be making more money off of it. And of course, they're going to want that.
Yeah, but you also, I mean, it's going to start running into problems where, I mean, look how many games Jared has. I mean, he's going to be having to buy like terabyte hard drives to hold all those games.
Well, I mean, as far as that goes, I stick to various. When I buy digital games, I either buy them from Steam or Good Old Games, or I don't buy them at all. So something like that, it's always, Steam always has them in one place, and I just download them as I see, and same with Good Old Games. So that's not an issue.
Okay, so if you're saying, theory here, if the Xbox 720 goes all digital, you're not going to get it?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
If that was all digital, the Xbox 720, that would have to have a pretty big hard drive then. Unless you'd be having multiple ones.
Yeah, you'd pretty much be looking at a bare minimum of like a 500 gig hard drive.
Well, something that Dylan mentioned before, a quote from the article about Chris Avellone. He said, "I love digital distribution. For one thing, being environmentally conscious, I really appreciate that we're not making more boxes and shipping them and creating all that waste. One of the things I enjoyed with Fallout New Vegas was that digital distribution of the DLC made things more flexible in terms of getting the content done. You didn't have to worry about production times for discs, and you could also take an extra week if you needed to get things right." I that's a very good point. When it comes to companies, I mean, like Dylan mentioned before, which was something that was said in the article too, was about, you know, they don't have to worry about producing all those discs and wasting all that plastic and you know, shipping all that stuff. So they're saving a lot of money and a lot of time on that. But on this too, I mean, think about it, they could gain like an entire month of development time when it goes all digital, because really the last month you have like testing or whatever, you know, final polishes, and then you just put it up. You don't have to spend time waiting for the disc to be produced.
Worry about shipping and manufacturing time.
Right.
Do you think they're gonna start dropping prices to like maybe $40 or $50 for games then? I mean, you think that'll come?
Dylan said prices would go up eventually.
Well, as far as disc based prices would definitely go up. If it went purely digital, I could see prices maybe dropping a little bit simply because they don't have to worry about the manufacturing aspect and shipping out too many copies and not selling all of them, that kind of thing.
Well, on that point, in that same article with Peter Moore, Andy Payne, which is UK Interactive Entertainment chairman, he said, Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft are dinosaurs. Because they're using these old-fashioned business models where you have to pay a royalty, a tribute, a tax, whatever you want to call it. It's quite a lot of euros. He's from UK, obviously. Quite a lot of euros per unit fixed based on what you order as a publisher, not what you sell. If that was to come down to something more acceptable, let's say $1 to manufacture, where the real cost is 20 cents, then that would put games in the hands of consumers at retail at around $20. You have more people buying games, less of a secondhand market, probably a bit less piracy, and that market might carry on for a bit longer. So is that something that you guys would, I mean, for the company, that's great. You know, they save costs and stuff. But also for the gamer, that sounds great too, when you're getting games around maybe $20, $30 for a brand new
games. That's ridiculous.
I mean, if that's where it's going to be at, as long as they pass on the savings to the consumer. I mean, because I know Activision's going to still try to sell me a digital game for $59.
You know, I think a lot of that too would depend on whether there were physical retailers as opposed to, you know, like what Steam does, for example. Because I'll put it to you this way. If someone's selling a digital copy of a game or something, there's obviously going to be a different variable, or variant, I should say, as of how much money they're going to make per sale. For example, do you guys know how much money GameStop makes off of the sale of a brand new PS3?
No.
No, I do not.
$8. Yeah, GameStop makes $8 off of a $250 new PS3 sale. And that's because, obviously, most of the money is going to the manufacturers and whatnot. And obviously, for discs, it's even less. So my whole point there is, if you look at, if there's still physical retailers like GameStop that are selling digital media and whatnot, I could see them getting a bigger cut of it, and as a result, maybe keeping the prices around where they are. Whereas if companies like that were to go out of business and you just bought directly from the manufacturer, prices would go way down, which is kind of worrisome for, you know, someone like me who works at GameStop.
Dylan, does that $8, does that actually include, is that a factored price with labor and all that stuff too?
The $8 is the net that GameStop makes off of a PS3 sale. Like, it's not taking into account any of the shipping or anything from the manufacturers. It's simply when a store sells a $250 piece of hardware, they're making $8 in profit.
How does that translate to a game? How much money?
I think it's like $2 or $3, maybe a little bit more than that, maybe $5.
So they thrive on the used game market, obviously.
Yeah, and that's, when we get into that topic, that's something I have a lot to say about.
But as far as the companies, I mean, something moving to a digital distribution would help in a lot of ways. I mean, piracy is going to be around whether it's digital or physical. It doesn't really matter. I mean, that's a whole other subject for another day.
I think piracy is going to, if they start charging $20 for a new game, I think piracy is going to fall a little bit more to the wayside, simply because no one's, I mean, you know, a lot of people that pirate games do it simply because they can't afford it. That's pretty much why everyone does it. If you have millions of dollars, you're not going to pirate a game. But if I can buy, you know, two or three games for the price of one, I'm going to buy two or three games and not even bother with the pirate.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, overall, I think a digital future like this, in a lot of ways, would be very beneficial to the developer, but and maybe even the publishers, but who knows how publishers would work at that point. And it's something that's great for, like, indie developers and stuff like that. The digital revolution has definitely helped a lot of indie games to get out there and be seen by a lot more people.
Yeah, it's helped a lot of really good games get noticed by people that would not have noticed them otherwise.
I don't see it ever going away, though. I would side with Brian on that.
I hope not.
I don't think it's going to go pure digital. I think there's always going to be copies of games, physical copies of games.
I don't think it'll ever go all digital either. Another thing that Andy Payne said in that article was, the packaged goods business, while still flourishing strong, eventually will go to the cloud. It will go digital, and we'll be delivering games from the cloud and delivering games directly to hard drives. And we're still going to sell a lot of discs for the feasible future, but eventually physical media will diminish as the core part of how gamers get their content.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I can see it dropping significantly as far as not shipping nearly as many units physically and more so relying on the digital distribution. I can see that happening, but they're definitely not going to go away.
Well, I mean, think of this, though, too. It's going to kind of affect modding and stuff like that as well. Because, I mean, picture you spent, you know, all the money you spent on all your games, and now because you got banned from Xbox Live, you're not going to be able to play any of those games for one reason or another. I mean, if that's how they're going to do it, I mean, that's kind of almost a scary prospect, too, especially with how Xbox Live and PSN are...
Well, even if you're banned for your Xbox Live Gold, it's different. I mean, if you have Xbox Live Silver, I think you can still download games and play them.
Yeah, but they might they might change that. And it's going to get to the point where, I mean, because PSN now has made everyone agree not to sue them, and Xbox is doing that as well. A lot of companies are trying to get their consumers to give away the right to sue them. And it's going to, I don't know, it might be a good thing, it might be a bad thing. It depends, because I know some people that got banned for saying the N-word a couple times, whereas other people get away with, you know, stealing games and modding and really making a general nuisance of the entire experience.
Well, let's move towards the, how do you think this affects the gamer? I mean, we kind of touched on that a little bit before, but how do you think a digital, the future of digital downloads and the way things are trending actually affect us both in positive and negative ways?
Well, as far as that, me personally, I think there's two directions that could go. Let's just assume for the moment that everything does go completely digital at some point. Let's just hypothetical situation here. That could be a really good thing simply because, you know, like we've been talking about, prices would drop, costs would drop, and everything would be a little bit cheaper. On the off chance that, which is more likely, I think, disc-based media still stays as big a part of the gaming culture as it is, or at least a big part of it, I think it's going to frustrate a lot of people, because if they have to put out discs and digital media, they're still going to continue charging $60 a game. And this kind of actually ties into my thoughts about the used game industry. At $60 a game, if there's more digital media being put out than disc-based media, there's not going to be as big of a used game market, and the whole reason that people buy used games is because they're cheaper. So if you take that out of the equation, a lot of people are going to miss out on a lot of good games. So I think it's kind of a double-edged sword, because I have a perfect example, actually. My customer, Scott, that I told you about, he had never played Bioshock. He recently, I talked him into getting Bioshock. I was like, dude, it's a great game. You're going to love it. It's fantastic. He ended up loving it, but he got both Bioshocks for like $20. Because they were used games, you know. It's what, Bioshock 1 is $9.99 right now, and Bioshock 2 is $8.99 right now. As a result, he is going to buy Bioshock Infinite new when it comes out, and the publisher and developer are going to get money off of him. Whereas, if he had never gotten to play those games used, he would not have even considered buying Bioshock Infinite.
Right, and that's actually something that Justin brought up in his article, a similar situation, about the idea of getting the game used, and then buying the game.
Was it
next
used
time.
Or was, I mean, he could have bought Bioshock 1 for $20 brand new because it's so old.
Right. He could have, but he wasn't sure if he was going to like it. And with GameStop's return policy, it was safer to buy it used for him.
But now the thing is, in the hypothetical situation of an all digital future, if something like that, like something like Bioshock 1 and 2, would probably be pretty cheap. I mean, with something like Steam has amazing sales all the time. I'm a huge,
especially now.
Yeah, I'm a huge Steam, like, I love physical copies, but I'm a huge Steam advocate. I have over 200 games on Steam. I bought the original Bioshock. It went down to $5 one time while it was still costing around like $40. They just had this random sale for like one day. It's like, hey, get Bioshock for $5. So something like that, if that's a common occurrence where, you know, if everything's digital and then they start throwing out sales like that, you know, something like that, it creates a very easy, you know, barrier to entry.
Yeah, I do agree with that, but the other thing is, like, especially with GameStop, like, do you guys know about the used game return policy at GameStop?
Seven days or something?
Yeah, within 7 days, you can return the game for any reason whatsoever. Like, if you didn't like the game, if you beat the game, whatever, if you return it within 7 days and it was pre-owned, there's no questions asked, literally. So at that point, it doesn't become a question of how cheap it is. It becomes a question of, well, I didn't like this game and I wish I had not paid money for it. So all the time I'll get people coming in and they'll buy, like, you know, a perfect example, Duke Nukem Forever. Someone will come in and be like, hey, I'm going to try this game out. Come back 2 days later and they're like, yeah, I played this game for about 30 minutes and that was all I needed. And I'm like, hey, me too. So as a result, they had to pay $0 for that game. Whereas if they had bought it even at a discounted price online, they'd be stuck with the game and they would have paid $30 for it.
If we ever went to an all digital future, and it's not that I'm in favor of it, I'm just, you know, devil's advocate.
But right.
If we went to an all digital future, I'm sure something like OnLive does, and I can't remember, do you get like an hour? Is it like 30 minutes of gameplay that you can try a game out for?
Yeah, it's something like that.
So if it was something where in a digital world, any game that's at your fingertips, you can try out for like 30 minutes or an hour. You know, that's kind of something that you should be able to play a game for 30 minutes to an hour. And if it doesn't grab you by that time, the game's probably not worth it.
Right.
That's very true.
And game developers will probably do that. if they had it all distributed. Yeah. Yeah, to like advertise more for it, be like, hey, try out our game, and if you don't like it, then you know, don't buy it.
But of course, that might also have some effects on pirating as well, because I'm sure somehow someone's going to figure out how to extend that time or have it just never tick down.
Well, I mean, that's not an issue anyway. Like, Steam itself is DRM, and there's ways to get around Steam-only games. You can get a fake Steam crack, and you get a fake Steam account, and then get a crack for that, and you can play those Steam games in, like, a fake Steam environment. So, I mean, there's always, piracy will never go away, you know, even if it goes all digital, no matter what they do. So, just sticking on the gamers thing for a minute, Devin and Brian, what do you guys think, how this affects the gamers in any other positive or negative ways?
Are we talking about completely digital stuff or what?
Just the industry trending more digital.
I think it's going to kind of equal out a little bit. I mean, I might pay $60 here for a game, and then, you know, I might pay $9.99 for another couple of games, but in the end, it's equaling out to probably be $30 to $20 every time, and if I'm only paying $20 each time, I mean, it's kind of, it's good.
Is that a future that you would want, though? Is that a positive you see as the gamer? I mean, you're saving money on, you know, buying the latest games at like $20 or $30 maybe, or even less, but at the same time, you're losing out on that physical media that you really do enjoy having.
Yeah, I do enjoy having the physical media, but I mean, if they started offering a lot of digital copies and they were only $20, I'd jump on that. I'd buy a lot of games, and I buy a fair amount of games on Steam when I have money too.
Honestly, that's my biggest problem with the industry going digital, is that I'm, and I know I'm very much in the minority as far as people that play video games, but we all know that the industry isn't a hardcore gamers industry anymore. I like having physical copies of things. I like being able to proudly display my nerdy rack of millions of video games, you know? Like, if it went all digital, I couldn't do that anymore, and that would be, you know, a piece of me that I could no longer proudly display.
You'd have to say, let me sign on to my Steam account and show you all my games.
Yeah, and that'd be lame.
Yeah, like, I have two. I guess that's a good question to ask. Do you guys download a lot of digital games in general? Or are you guys, do you guys own more digital games than physical copies, or vice versa?
No, no.
Oh, I own way more physical games. I mean, I have been, you know, buying them for the past 20 years.
I guess it would be a bit different if I had more money, but, like, this prospect kind of, I don't want to say it excites me, but
It's the deals thing that really gets me, though. I mean, the Steam deals, though, like, when you're dropping things 75% off on, like, games that came out last month, I mean, I'm gonna pick that up if I really want to play.
Yeah, those are pretty ridiculously good.
So those deals, I'm definitely going to get digital, and maybe eventually, if I actually want the physical copy, just wait until like next year when it's cheap and I can just pick it up. Maybe then. But yeah, I think digital, as far as being way cheaper, if it was even $20 to $30 for a brand new game that just came out, yeah, I would get it.
Right now I own 207 Steam games and I own 80 games on Good Old Games. But the thing is, I own those games and I've played most of those games. But at the same time, it doesn't feel like I own those games.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And one of the big things, I love going back and looking at my physical copies, and it's like a memory, a physical memory to look at. So if everything went digital at a point, because I'm sort of a collector.
Likewise.
I guess you'd say. And I guess that's a big part of video games, being a gamer, is playing video games, obviously. But a big part of it to a lot of other people, like myself and Dylan and even Brian and Devin to a smaller extent maybe, is that we like to collect those games. It's also part of the fun of video games is actually collecting those and having those and having, you know, different merchandise related to those different games that we love. So
yeah,
it's more than just playing the game.
You gotta also figure if the industry goes all digital, that completely cuts out like the collector's edition aspect of things.
Well, it really alienates the enthusiast part of it. It helps out, I think, for the mass mainstream. It's a great thing because prices will be
definitely
down. Companies will sell so many games when things are going for like $20-$30. But the enthusiast crowd is who are really going to be negatively hit by that.
And those are the people that started the gaming industry being popular in the first place, which is my problem. Like the hardcore people like you and I that have been playing Zelda games since the original, been playing Mario, been playing all the games since the original Nintendo, when gaming was for, you know, gamers, as opposed to these days where it's like, hey, we put out the Wii, let's put out 900 really crappy minigame compilations and all of them will sell because of casual gamers.
People who want to exercise while gaming.
What if, like, places like, let's say, they went more so with the digital distribution and were very limited with their physical copies, and what if they only sent physical copies to things like Amazon, so pretty much everything was online, even if you wanted a physical copy, you bought it online. What if they did something like that? Or then, if you wanted a digital, you could buy it like that, or you could just go to Amazon and buy it and get it shipped to you. So they wouldn't be shipping it to all these places like Walmart and GameStop and Best Buy. That would still save them a lot of money, and they would only be shipping a specific amount of units just to like an Amazon warehouse.
Yeah, or if you could just start getting it directly from
the developer. Yeah, if they had like on their site or something. I mean, they would save a lot of money, right? Because they're not shipping to like a lot of stores, just like the major, like one big company like Amazon or whatever else you want to choose. That's just like an online only option.
Personally, I mean, I know this would affect Dylan's job, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm sure he would have mixed feelings on it. But yeah. Me as a consumer, you know, not looking at that standpoint, I'm okay. I don't really miss going into a physical store and having to interact
with me other too. People. I hate people.
Like that. I mean, I don't completely hate. I don't completely hate people, but sometimes I just don't like. I want to go out and find a game, or sometimes I just want to look at a bunch of games. But sometimes it's just easier to go on Amazon and look that way and get what I want and just wait for it to come to me instead of having to take time out of my day to go to some.
Even Amazon has some good deals. You know, buy like two games, get one free, and they're actually the physical copies. You know, it's not like just a Steam sale.
Right, and you can get shipping pretty fast.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest impacts that it would have if, physical stores like GameStop, Walmart, Best Buy, whatever, were out of the picture is that a lot of people don't know what they want. Like, people like, us, obviously, not me because I go there every day working, but people that go into a game store that are gamers usually know exactly what they want. Like, oh, I'm here specifically for Skyrim. I'm here specifically for Skyward Sword, whatever. But, like, a lot of the moms and stuff that are coming in for Christmas presents and whatnot, they have no idea what their kid wants. They're like, oh, my kid wants something with Warfare? And we're like, oh, yeah, Modern Warfare. Oh, yeah, that's the one. Cool. But a lot of the parents really have no idea what their kid wants for Christmas, and the parents have no idea what kind of games they want to play. Like, the game that, what was it? I had a guy come in the other day who had just bought a Wii or something, and he really didn't know what kind of games he would enjoy. He was like, well, I like the idea of, like, the bowling games or whatever. I'm like, all right, so there's, like, Wii Sports, Wii Sports Resort. There's, Wii Play, Wii Play Motion. Like, there's all these kind of games that really cater to that motion gaming crowd. And he would have had no idea. If he would have looked around on Amazon or whatever, he would have no idea what to look for. Whereas at a physical retailer, you've got someone like myself who honestly knows quite a bit about gaming, and I can really recommend something to any person that walks into my store. And I can give him recommendations. I can tell him, I think you'd like this, I think you'd like this.
Yeah, no, I think that's actually a really good point. If we're being truly honest about this, things like our podcast and our website and, any other gaming website out there, they do cater to only a specific audience. I think there are a few people who go online and just say, like, Modern Warfare 3 reviews, and you just read some random sites like that. But the people... Most people who are reading websites like ours and listening to podcasts like ours are probably pretty into gaming at this point anyway, and probably have a decent idea of what they're into and what they're not into. So there's not going to be some middle-aged mom who doesn't know anything about gaming suddenly listening to Between the Pixels to try to get her information on what game she should get for her son for Christmas.
Right, yeah. Right.
What do you mean? We don't have a soccer mom audience?
I mean, yeah, that's who we're going for mainly.
we're just trying to hook up with soccer moms. That's the main point of our podcast.
Any soccer moms are listening right now. Send us an email at
If you want to give us some BTWN,
if you want to give us some
perfectmag.com,
hit me up at 717.
But no, that's a really good point because there are a lot of people out there who just don't know anything about gaming.
Well, I mean, they're just going to buy points. I mean, you can buy Microsoft points now. If everything was on. Just like digital distribution type of things, all the games you wanted for your 360 were going to be on Xbox Live Marketplace, and all you'd have to do is buy your kid a card and be like, get what you want and download what you want.
That solves the problem of buying presents for other people,
right?
But
right.
It doesn't. Yeah, just for that one, yes. But like I said, the guy who had no idea what he wanted, he left happy because he left with like three or four games that were specifically the kind of thing he wanted, even if he didn't know he wanted them at the time.
Right. That's one thing where you walk in and just like describe an idea of a game that you like, and they can give you suggestions. Or I also don't like the idea. I'm not a parent or anything, but I wouldn't want to buy my kid just a bunch of points and then just say, like, here, go buy whatever game you want.
Yeah, because, I wouldn't want to do that either, but that's what it would turn into.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have, you wouldn't have, like, any control over, like, well, what does the ESRB say this game has? Right. What's the rating on it?
That's a good point.
I mean, you could be there when they're buying the actual game and stuff, but they're just vague descriptions, you know? It's like sexual themes. Well, what does that actually mean?
Well, you would have parental control over their Xbox to begin with.
Well, that's actually another really good point, because all the time I'll get parents coming in with their kids and the kids are like, yeah, I'm getting Grand Theft Auto. And they talk to their mom and they're like, oh, it's not that bad. It has this, this, and this. And the parent believes them. And even if there was some regulation of doing that online where it's like, oh, yeah, we have parental controls, but like the parent could override it, obviously. If you're coming into GameStop and a kid's coming up to my counter with Grand Theft Auto 4, and I'm specifically telling the mom, I'm like, yeah, you don't want your kid to have this game. He's killing hookers. He's, you know, doing drug deals and stuff like that. And then the parent's like, wow, this is the game.
And then he's
going to
play the game.
What's that?
And then he's going to play the game.
Yeah, right.
Like, I was saying, like, he's killing hookers and doing drugs in real life.
Well, no. Yeah, that's totally what I'm saying. No, but
yeah,
like,
if your kid's doing that, don't get him this game.
Yeah, probably a bad idea. But like it just brings up, again, people not knowing what they want, because like the parent thinks they have control over what's going on when the kid is telling them something, but when they're coming to GameStop, I guess, and, you know, talking to someone like me who I can tell them what's in this game and I can tell them why they should or should not buy it. Maybe not why they should or should not buy it, but why at least caution them about the ideas held within the game.
Well, isn't that to some point or another more a responsibility that should be laid on the parents? Like, I'm not trying to, you know, invalidate your point there, Dylan, but, I mean, to some point or another, I think parents really do need to take a legitimate interest and maybe watch their kids play once in a while, even if it's just whenever they're passing by, take a few minutes to see how many hookers they're really killing.
Yeah, I definitely do. Nice. I definitely do not disagree with that point whatsoever, but people are lazy, and they kind of need things to be spelled out for them a lot of the time.
I totally agree there, too.
Parents are, 9 times out of 10, parents are not going to do the research. They're not going to be like, okay, my kid wants this game. It's exactly what Jared was saying. It's like parents aren't going to be like, oh, let me look into stuff on this game. They're just going to be like, okay, why is it rated M? Okay, cool, they can have it.
And even further that point, I mean, what if a parent does take the time to go on the internet and look up different reviews? Most reviews now, I mean, we don't... Like, when we write a review, we don't write it in the, you know, we're not using a bunch of slang or anything like that. But it's still written in terms that a lot of parents just aren't going to understand.
Yeah, very much so.
And so it's not always that clear, because if you don't know anything about games and you're just reading all this stuff, you're like, well, what does this mean to me? I mean, there's been websites out there that kind of help you with that, but they haven't been super successful.
Well, there's a lot of examples of the ESRB, I would say, being a little bit misleading. Like, for example,
I would agree with you, Brian.
No, with Parasite Eve, it had a label of mature sexual themes. And I'm not saying it didn't deserve that, but the mature sexual themes was basically...
But I certainly couldn't masturbate to that.
Too much clothing.
Well, it dealt primarily with pregnancy and sperm donation. It didn't have any kind of real intercourse or anything going on for it. And it might have been a topic that was a bit... something maybe you don't want your 5-year-old to be asking you questions about, but someone who's been through sex ed, it's perfectly, I'd say, acceptable for that child to play that game.
And then along those lines too, like as far as M-rated games go and being misleading, Halo Reach I think is the perfect example. The game is rated M, and I'm 99% positive they slapped that M rating on there just to sell more copies of the game. Because there's nothing in that game that denotes an M rating. Like, parents will come in all the time and be like, yeah, my kid really wants to buy M rated game. This just happened the other day. Someone wanted, their kid wanted an M rated game. They wanted Call of Duty, and the mom wasn't okay with it because they didn't want the depictions of people killing people. So I was like, go for Halo Reach. The game is rated M. I'll tell you that right now, but there's nothing in it that denotes an M rating. Like, you're killing aliens. There's no vicious, brutal kills or anything. The most you'll see is, like,
but there's blood.
Yeah, there's purple blood, and it's nothing about it is realistic and gory. It's not Gears of War where you're cutting people up with chainsaws. It's not Call of Duty where you're killing actual human beings. It's you're killing aliens and there's some purple blood. And I made all of that very clear to the mom. And by the end of it, she was okay with getting the kid the game. The kid was happy. She was happy. Everyone was happy.
What about the online play, though? Aren't you killing humans in that one? In other words, you're a terrible person. You lied to a customer.
Well, it very clearly says in the box, online interactions are not rated by the ESRB. So there.
Oh, nice.
Actually, I had a similar situation with my mom was getting a present. She was going to get a present for my brother. He's 15. And it was Assassin's Creed Revelations, and she saw that it had the exact same thing that Brian said, sexual themes. And she's like, I'm not getting that for him. That's going to be like some porn on there or nudity and stuff. I'm like, well, that's not what it says. I mean, she asked me that like two days before Christmas. She's like, I didn't get that game for him because they're sexual themes. And now you got to understand, he's played the first three Assassin's Creed games. So
there's more nudity in Assassin's Creed 2 than in Assassin's Creed Revelation.
Well, he's played all three of them like completely through.
Yeah,
and that's just what I'm saying, just though. Now, my mom's like just sees the sexual themes. Like, I'm not getting this one for him. I'm like, well, he's played all the other ones, and it's not going to be. If anything, it's not going to be much different as far as sexuality goes.
Yeah,
but she didn't get it for him because of that.
There's also a point of the mature sexual themes is very American. Like, it's very taboo in America, whereas violence is really kind of accepted here. Whereas in other countries,
It's the opposite.
And if you think about it, I mean, your child, if he goes through life in a normal way, unless he joins the priesthood, he's going to see and experience graphic depictions of sex, we hope, unless he's gay, in which case he's still going to.
We hope he sees graphic violent sex.
But if all goes as planned, as a father or as a mother or whatever, as a parent, you don't want your child to be exposed to graphic depictions of violence. That's not, at least not in person. So it would be more damaging, I would think, to the psyche of a child to see violence than it would be to see nudity or to understand sex a little bit, maybe before your age, in comparison to the violence. Because one is part of the natural order of life. I mean, just a spoiler alert here, the stork doesn't exist, and having sex is what makes children.
Wait, what?
Wait, but how do you do that?
Having sex with children. Okay, I was gonna make a joke about having sex with a stork makes children, but now I... Having sex with children makes a stork.
That was way better. Having sex with children, yeah, that does make a story. You're right, does make a story.
This podcast
and you're also
is
in jail.
Totally inappropriate. Well, let's bring it back around real quick and let's talk about how
sex with children.
We kind of got off topic there. I don't know if I should put that in the show notes. Sex with children.
That should be like the main heading.
that should be the intro and the name of it.
Between the Pixels, Sex with Children.
Hey, Jared, you're fired.
You get people to listen to it, at least.
Let's talk about how this digital future, digital revolution, would affect the used game market. More, I mean, we touched on it already, but maybe a little bit deeper. Like, how would that affect GameStop specifically? Let's say, because they're the biggest user or biggest seller of used games.
I don't know. I guess we all kind of agree that it would pretty much destroy the used market because there wouldn't be nearly as much physical media for the used market to sell. So, I mean, how can you have a business when you don't have product?
They're going to change their game plan. They're going to do something else, like partner up with somebody.
Yeah, well, obviously.
But it might come down to more of this game's old, so we're going to drop the price. Instead of the used market, you'd have the old game market. I know, it sounds dumb now, but...
The only games they carry would be like 360 for the next 34 years.
A game that comes out new, you know, in a couple of months, they might drop down the price by $5, and then a little bit more once they reach their profit point.
Well, I mean, none of that really has to do with the retailers anyway. All of the price changes have to do with the actual developers. Like, GameStop can't just drop prices on stuff on a whim unless it's a used game. Like, the used games, we control the prices on that, but the new games, like, that's all the developers.
So you think GameStop would be out of the picture eventually?
I mean, in that situation, I kind of feel like it would be, I'm sad to say, because, like, one of the big things I have was exactly that. Like, you know, you go to GameStop and, you know, I've got a $14.99 and under bin for 360 games, so someone can peruse through that and grab, like, 99 Nights, The Darkness, and, like, Prey for under $10 and have three, you know, maybe not the best games ever, but three halfway decent games for under $10.
I love
bucks.
The Darkness.
Darkness was awesome. I'm glad the sequel's coming out in a month or two. But, and 99 Nights, of course, is actually one of my favorite 360 games, and no one knows about it, but... Anyway, I digress. But the whole thing is, like, I sitting here having this conversation with you guys, I actually thought about it, and it's actually a really good point that the developers could very easily put out digital media of their older games and sell it on the cheap, and people would still be able to experience these games. Just, I think my only problem would be, like, you don't really think about them unless you see them. So, like, yeah, while the option would be there, you wouldn't, it's not like, Jared, I remember one time I went to GameStop with you, like, 5 years ago, this is before I even worked at EB, and you basically went in and just bought a bunch of games that were under $10. And one of them was like, it was like, what, Killer 7, and then a couple other really random, like Viking or whatever on 360, like really random titles.
Killer 7, I mean.
Killer 7 was great, but like, other than hearing about them when they were new, you wouldn't have thought to buy them unless you saw them specifically sitting in front of you, and you would have missed out on a great game.
Yeah, well, I mean, my situation is a little different. Like, I knew about some of those games beforehand.
Does anybody else even do that? Because Jared's weird.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people do that. Like, I have people all the time that kind of come in, and I'm like, hey, you know, you looking for anything in particular? And they'll be like, nah, just kind of browse around. And a lot of people do that. And, like, they'll, 9 times out of 10, you know, what we're supposed to do at GameStop is make sure we approach people on the sales floor and talk to them and whatnot so that they know, you know, what kind of deals we're offering, what kind of stuff we have. But me, as, you know, a hardcore gamer, more often than not, what I end up doing more than letting people know about deals is letting people know about good games that they might not have heard of. So, you know, a lot of times, like, games that don't get much media, like Shadows of the Damned, for example, on 360 and PS3, awesome game, really, really cool concept. Anything Suda 51 does is just so weird and cool that you just need to play it. It needs to be a game that you've played. So I've let people know about Shadows of the Damned, and they're like, wow, I've never even heard of this game. Yeah, you know, $30, let me give it a try. And people have come back and told me, yeah, I really love that game, and it's one I never would have heard of had you not mentioned it, because I don't know if you guys noticed, but that game got no press.
Pretty much.
Like, that game literally just got no press whatsoever. There were no commercials, there were no, like, advertisements anywhere. It just kind of slid under the radar, and that's the only reason the game failed, because it was actually a really fun game.
I think the biggest thing for me, I mean, now more than ever, it seems like there's a bigger issue with the used game market as a whole. A lot of developers and publishers are mad about the used game market even existing.
Right.
And for me, I'm really torn on it, because I'm very much the kind of person that if I buy a piece of non-disposable product, I feel like you should have the right to resell that or do with whatever you want, as long as you're not infringing on copyright and so on and so forth. So, like, if I buy a car, and if I want to sell it to some, like, I buy a Hyundai car and I want to go sell that to someone else, I don't have to give Hyundai a cut of it, or I don't have to give the dealership who sold it to me a cut of it. You know, at that point, it's my car.
Yeah,
and
I
do
with it
as I please. So I'm torn on that fact, but at the same time, I love supporting the developers as much as I possibly can. And not to, like, toot my own horn, but if there's an indie bundle that's selling for, like, $5, I'll usually give, like, something like $20 or something like that, because I want to support them as much as possible.
Especially when they have good business practices like that. I mean, you want to kind of reward them for having very good ideas and practices that...
Well, Jared, you couldn't give $5,000, so you suck.
That's true. I'm not good enough.
To me, what that comes back to is the point I made earlier about the guy with Bioshock. Like, that's money... The money he's going to pay for Bioshock Infinite is money they would have never gotten from him had he not bought the games pre-owned.
Right. In the long run, it would pay off.
But I was going to say, though, how much difference will that make in comparison to them selling all these new games?
Yeah, but that's the thing you have to think about. He might have bought that, you know, however old that is, 3 years old or whatever, game for a very cheap price. But what if he decides that, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to buy Bioshock, but maybe I'll wait a few days, and when there's a return copy, I'll pick up a return copy or a used copy. In that sense, they're still losing. I mean, I guess they're not losing money, because it was money that you could argue that money was never theirs to begin with.
Right.
But they lost out on a brand new sale. Like, if they come back and they start buying newer games for, like, used games that are, you know, new releases, at that point, I see that as a negative.
I see what you're saying, but more often than not, it's the people that want those games as early as that are going to buy it new, simply because either A, they want to support the developers, B, they want to be one of the first ones to play it, or C, they just really like the game and don't care if they get it new or used, they just want the game.
Right.
I think that's the case more often than not. Like, yeah, most of the games that come out that people ask for used copies right away are sports games. Like, that's something I've noticed really strongly, is that, like...
For used copies right away, you said?
Yeah, when people are looking for a used copy of a new game, like, right away, it only tends to be sports games. Like, Uncharted 3, for example, more often than not, I've had people come in and just buy the game new without even asking if I had it used, or games like Zelda's, well, not that I've had any copies of Zelda traded in, but, like, at Skyrim, like, we've had a used copy here and there, people that the game just wasn't what they thought it would be. But more often than not, people are like, yeah, I just want the new copy.
That's weird, because with the sports games, I know some of those, especially with EA, you have to buy them brand new if you're planning on playing online. If
you don't have to. It is still cheaper to buy it used. Like, you can buy the online pass for it, and it still does end up being a couple bucks cheaper than buying it new. GameStop started jacking down the prices on those to, instead, like, you know, when a new game comes out, it's 60 new, 55 used. We started knocking the prices down to $47.99 used, so that you could buy the game and the online pass and still pay less than the new copy.
Is that only for specific ones that have the online pass with it? So, like, okay.
A lot of Skyrim, like, I know,
would be $55.
Uncharted and Mortal Kombat are the two that come to mind. Those had online passes as well, but if you buy the game used, we give you a free online pass, basically.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But that's the only situation where I feel... Now, I could care less about sports developers, yeah, but... Other developers in general, when a game comes out and it's 55 used, and even though, like, yeah, I'll pay $60 or whatever if there's a collector's edition or whatever to support the developer, but there's a lot of people out there who just don't really care. And, like, I mean, personally, I think it's kind of dumb, and not to be insulting, but maybe they're kind of dumb if they're going to make a big discrepancy over $5, you know, just buy it new.
Yeah, I mean, well, that comes down to the discussion I have to have with people every day at work. Like, it's, you know, it's $5 difference off the bat, but then with the GameStop card, it's a $10 difference, plus you're getting more points for your purchase, and that saves you money in the long run, and you can return the game if you don't like it. Like, it's, there are benefits to buying used at GameStop, at least.
Sure, it's just one of those things where I feel bad for the developer in that scenario, because they really are losing a possible sale at that point. From someone, and you know, that person doesn't have any affinity towards any developer, so they don't care about supporting them. They just want to play the game because, yo, bro, I want to play Xbox or whatever.
Yeah, like, I definitely understand all the stuff you're saying, and I agree with a lot of it, but I really just don't feel like the used game industry is hurting gaming as a whole, because, like, you know...
Oh, no, I don't think that's okay, the case either.
Cool, because, like, you look at, like, there are fantastic games put out every year, and there are fantastic sequels put out every year, and that's all taking into account the budgets that they're given due to how many copies of the game were sold. I feel like it's just spiting the consumer if you take the used game market out of the industry entirely, because then that's saying, well, you have to buy my games new, you don't get a choice. Because then, when you look at it that way, like, okay, you take GameStop out of the picture, people are still just going to sell the games to each other or lend the games right to each other, and it's
there's
just
still Craigslist,
take...
there's still eBay, there's still Amazon.
Yeah, exactly. It's just going to take corporations out of the picture. That's it.
There's still a lot of small shops too. Like, I know GameStop is like the huge part of it, but if that fell to the wayside and kind of just dropped out of the picture, there's still going to be a lot more smaller shops, because I know small shops that are around me near Bloomsburg where they still sell like old NES games and stuff all the way through, all the way through 360.
There's this great store in Lansdale I stopped at pretty recently, and they had literally everything you could want from a game store, like from Nintendo, even, like, I think they had some Atari type stuff all
did
the way up to
modern. Did they
have
posters and other stuff like that too?
Did they have what?
Like posters? No, like posters.
Do they have gum?
Because, you know, my game store has to have gum. I mean, that's
and Oreos, just,
and Oreos and Doritos.
Zebra gum. I like that with the tattoos.
Oh, zebra gum.
Oh my gosh, that stuff was a bomb for like 5 minutes, and then the flavor went away.
Yeah,
yeah, that stuff was kind of gross to eat, but
it was pretty
bad.
Yeah, I mean, those small businesses get good. They get a lot of, for some reason, they get a lot. They can still like stay alive. You know, they're not dying.
It's almost like a word of mouth cult following type thing.
Yeah, they don't get any brand new games, so it's all about used sales.
The one I went to did.
Oh, did it?
They actually had new copies of games and stuff, too, yeah. It was actually kind of an anomaly. I hadn't really seen anything like that before.
I think this is the cold, hard truth about it. A lot of developers and publishers want to cry about the used game market and stuff like that, but in an interview that with Valve's Gabe Newell, if you guys know who that is, head of Valve, he was talking about piracy, but and how piracy is basically not an issue for them because they create good products and they care about the customers. And I think it would translate to the used market in the same way. If publishers are putting out real quality games that are worth the $60, I think it wouldn't be an issue. I don't think used games would be an issue.
I agree.
That's true. I mean, there's like as you guys know, I've played a lot of games lately that I definitely didn't feel were worth the $60.
Like what Gabe said, now this is referring to piracy, but like I said, translate this into the used setting also. He said piracy is almost always a service problem and not a pricing problem. For example, if a pirate offers a product anywhere in the world 24/7, purchasable from the convenience of your personal computer, and a legal provider says the product is region-locked, will come to your country 3 months after the U.S. release, and can only be purchased at a brick-and-mortar store, the pirate service is more valuable.
Well, that's very true, though.
Yeah, the whole point is, a lot of companies make things a lot more difficult for gamers, or they create products that aren't worth our $60.
Anyway, guys, I gotta get going. I gotta be at work at 7 a.m.
Yeah, that's pretty much all we were gonna talk about with that.
Alright, cool. So anyway, I will be on next week. I'll talk to you guys then. Later, guys.
See ya. Later. Did you guys want to maybe cover a few topics of news?
We can do a couple things. I mean, one thing we should mention is, especially just because next week we'll be recording on New Year's Day, but there's some news that's going to happen before that. So like the Avatar guns that you can actually buy for your avatar on Xbox Live. You're not going to be able to buy them anymore. All the people that do have them can keep them, but you're not going to be able to buy those digital guns for your avatar for some reason. I don't know why.
Darn it!
Because they're violent symbols.
Yeah, I mean, promoting violence, which is a huge thing, and you don't want your kids to be promoting violence by having your avatar hold a gun when you're playing Call of Duty or Battlefield or something.
Because
like that.
It makes me want to shoot up a school.
This whole I don't even
that's
know what the reason
in the new
is.
Year, by the way,
is that what they're saying? Is because it's promoting violence?
Yeah, pretty much.
I hope they die. They're dumb. How many of us grew up playing games outside with your friends, running around using sticks, pretending to kill each other?
Or even that, or like real, very realistic looking guns that nowadays would get you shot by a cop.
Yeah, but you can buy like the gun, like the Gears of War gun with the chainsaw on the bottom for your avatar.
That's
bad.
Stand there with it?
Yes.
It's crazy.
You will stand there
I know,
with
that
it.
Makes me want to murder people. It makes me want to murder all the people that spend money on their avatars, because they're dumb.
One thing that the article said is that Microsoft will be barring any avatar proper that resembles a firearm. Gotta protect those kids while they're playing Halo and Gears.
Oh my god.
That was Epic Games is the first one who said about taking away their Hammer Bust and Lancer avatar props. On the 1st of January. But anything else is going to be removed as well for guns.
Wow.
I guess the reason Microsoft said was because it promotes violence, right?
It's kind of like they said it's an anti-gun policy, pretty much.
Oh, an anti-gun policy in a video game company. That's, I totally understand now. You know, never mind. I'm sorry. Let me take that back.
We can shoot each other. We can kill other people digitally online. But we can't have an avatar stand still with a weapon.
I don't quite get that. It's what is that really protecting? Is it protecting little Jimmy from knowing what a gun looks like?
I have no idea.
I mean, because that's the only thing I can even possibly imagine. I mean, parents can protect their kids from playing games, but is there going to be someone that's calling up Xbox and saying, "My son now knows what a gun looks like thanks to your avatars," and then try to sue them?
Who's going to be able to buy these products anyway? Like adults. I mean, they're the ones who have credit cards that are going to be able to buy this stuff.
I'm just saying maybe someone's going to make a friend playing a game, and then they're going to see a gun, and like, oh, I want that, and then I don't...
Yeah.
I can't even imagine that, though.
The parents regulate it. They have to, right?
If you're a parent, not just a lazy piece of crap...
Then again, if you are a parent and used your credit card or whatever to buy your kid a year subscription... That credit card number is attached to your account. So
sure.
Kids could, I mean, unless they do the whole parental control on your Xbox, and if they're unaware of that, then your kid can certainly get on and buy a gun avatar thing.
But then you take away their Xbox for using your credit card without asking you.
It's just an asinine thing in the first place that this even exists. Let's move on to something funny. If you guys remember a while back, you remember that Sony, when you accepted their new terms of service... It said that you cannot sue them.
Somebody is.
In a class action suit. Yeah. Well, a California man is actually suing them for that exact terms of service. And
that's funny.
But it's not just that. It's saying a Northern California man filed suit against Sony late last month on behalf of all customers who purchased a PlayStation 3 and signed up for PSN access before the September change to Sony's terms of service. The suit alleges that Sony engaged in unfair business practices by forcing customers to either give up their right to file a class action lawsuit or give up access to the online gaming network they effectively paid for when they purchased the hardware. The suit says Sony buried the clause section describing the changes near the bottom of a 21-page form viewable through the PS3 and neglected to post an easily accessible version of the form online, even though it had done so with past user agreement updates. While the suit notes that Sony allowed an opt-out from the class action provision, the only way for customers to do that was to contact the company in writing. No emails, no phone calls, no online forms were accepted.
Seems like a dick move, really.
I guess I never thought about that. And I mean, the whole idea of like, hey, you can't sue us, that's kind of dumb. But I never thought about like how much they actually did bury it, you know, at the end of 21 pages. And the only way you could do it was, you know, through snail mail. There was no possible other way to contact them. I guess they really did make it difficult for customers to opt out.
Yeah, it's like when Congress sneaks in something at the end of a 21-page bill about helping war veterans, and then you want to vote it down because it's also, but we're going to take $300 million from the War Veteran Fund at the very end.
Or they pass a $2,000 healthcare bill.
Yeah.
Or $2,000, did I say 2,000-page healthcare bill? Excuse me, it was more like a $3 trillion.
So what was that? I liked what he said. What was that, like the malpractice or whatever they were talking about? The business, like it's unfair or whatever?
Malpractice? That's in a
I don't remember what you said.
Which part? They engaged unfair business practices?
Unfair business practices, yeah. I like how they brought that up because of the fact that you can buy, for whoever bought their PS3, you know, before this was put into place and had their PSN account before that, it's unfair business practice.
Well, he's just saying the way they handled it by putting it at the end of 21 pages, you know, basically hiding it, not giving you access to online forms. Now, noted, this guy actually already did accept the user agreement, but he's still suing them anyway.
Well, did he write them a letter?
No, I don't know. I don't think so. As far as I know, he accepted the agreement.
Well, who else did? What other companies were doing this? I remember we talked about this
AT&T
before.
Did it.
AT&T was the first one, and then there was like two or three other gaming companies that did this. EA?
Yeah.
Oh, big surprise there, huh?
I mean, with EA, I don't know if you could sue them. I don't know if you could do that.
Can I just sue them for being a terrible company?
No, but then we wouldn't have some great games like Madden.
Oh, no, heaven forbid. I don't think I could live without my Madden, bro.
Do you want to talk about there's a Star Wars The Old Republic mob, flash mob, that happened in Times Square. Actually, I'm not sure what day it was, but it was just a video that we saw on YouTube. And yeah, it was pretty neat. They had people dressed up. I can't remember these people's names. What do those like cyborg people look like? What are they called?
Cyborgs? What are you talking about?
I don't know. If you saw the video,
are you talking about stormtroopers?
Maybe. Maybe that's what it is.
Or clone troopers?
It was like these two like stormtroopers versus Jedis or something like that, and they were both dressed up, and they started like fighting each other, but then they froze before they hit each other anywhere, just like in like a battle stance in the middle of Times Square, and like people just like kind of stopped and looked around and started taking pictures, and there was actually people in the crowd who they weren't dressed up or anything, they just had like normal clothes on, and they would pull out a lightsaber and do the same thing and start fighting each other, and froze in the middle of like their battle stance. And it was pretty weird. You should check out that YouTube video.
That's a really cool flash mob, because then you think it's over, and then like 30 other people jump out. If they did it like in kind of like two or three waves, that'd be pretty cool.
Just like a massive like lightsaber battle, but they didn't actually fight. It would have been cool if they actually like, kept fighting, but they just kind of froze in place. You know how they do that with flash mobs. I haven't seen too many of those, but I mean, it looked really cool. And I guess it was some kind of promotion for the game to come out. So it probably came out like a week or two is when it happened.
I mean, I think the idea of flash mobs in general is kind of lame, but yeah. That's kind of cool. Stuff like that's kind of cool. It's a little original. Was this specifically set up by like BioWare or EA or something?
Dude, I don't know. It just said it was supposed to be like a promotion for the game.
Well, yeah, it must have been, because if it's promotion for the game.
Actually, it just says to celebrate the launch of the Old Republic. A bunch of people dressed up and headed down to Times Square in New York City to engage in a massive lightsaber battle.
See, I actually kind of like flash mobs to a point, because I kind of respect the choreograph and all the timing that is involved in doing something like that. I mean, that's a lot of work.
I mean, it's impressive, but at the same time...
Why?
I don't know. I just don't... I think they're dumb.
I can get what you're saying. I just think, why go through all that work just for one?
Like, role? I don't care that you can dance. I don't. I don't care. At all.
They didn't dance, Jared.
No, but that's what most flash mobs do.
Yeah, I understand.
They get together and dance. Like, I don't care. And, like, if I was in the middle of a flash mob, it'd be cool to see. It's not like
you
I would...
start dancing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I'd probably dance or something stupid, but I just don't... I don't care, though. Like, it was cool when a couple people did it, but it's kind of like, you know, anything. Like planking or whatever. It's lame at a certain point.
No. Jared, that's the coolest thing on Earth.
Planking is pretty cool in
general. Yeah, I forgot planking's cool. Any other news?
Nope. That's it. It's over. Let's wrap it up.
Sorry. Let's end it.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
This is going downhill.
Someone had to do it.
Oh, someone's got to wrap this up, don't we?
That was it. Thanks for tuning in. No. Do you have any other news?
Not really. I mean, you still have the whole, I don't know if you want to even talk about this, Electronic Arts and Activision, they're going at it again with the whole Wes and Zampella of them being fired from Infinity Ward. There's actually going to be a court case, I think it's in May. Yeah, May 7th. They're going to be going to court about this. I don't really know all the details yet.
But we've got a court date.
Yes.
Keep tuned to pixelperfectmag.com. We'll keep you updated on it.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what all happens on May 7th. Maybe, I don't even know what it's all about other than like why they lost their job. Like maybe they're going against that.
It's been so long. Like I can barely even remember anything about it.
That was Modern Warfare 2, wasn't it?
It was after Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, after it was released, but before Black Ops.
Yeah, gosh, I don't remember.
But I'm sure, we'll probably hear more about that whenever the court happens. The court hearing happens.
Yes, sir.
That's it. Tune in next week.
Emails.
Time to go to our emails.
No, that's it. We're done here.
Tune in next week for our New Year's Day recording.
Yeah, this was our Christmas cast thing. Even though we didn't talk about anything really about... We didn't do any Christmas stuff other than... I couldn't think of a lot of good Christmas stuff. Like, I was going to do like this Christmas audio quiz, but then... We were limited on time, and I don't know how good that would be. So, I had all this like chiptune 8-bit music I was gonna play.
Jared, we didn't sing.
Oh, we didn't sing.
Oh, let's sing a Christmas carol. Come on.
We were gonna sing some type of Christmas carol, but
chestnuts roasting on the open fire.
Is that what you're gonna sing? Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
This is gonna be the slow version.
I don't know.
Oh wait, pull up the lyrics. Pull up the lyrics,
guys. And presents in the snow.
Presents in the snow.
Everybody knows. A chocolate and some mistletoe.
No, that's not the... It's a turkey.
Turkey and stuffing for you too. I really don't know the lyrics.
Yeah, just look up the lyrics quick.
Oh, Yuletide carols, singing time after time.
No, that's so wrong.
It's being sung by a choir.
Yes. Time after time.
And frost nipping at your nose. And
frost jizz hitting in you in the nose.
Folks dressed up like Eskimos.
That's
what we should have done. We should have made up our own song as we want. Oh, we could just do that right now, actually.
Yeah, we could do...
We are... Between the pixels.
Video games resting in an open console. Controllers laying at your toes.
360
is not our name.
Your mom's yelling at you because he won't clean your room.
And when you look underneath your bed, you just may find that old copy of Fallout 3 New Vegas.
References from an old podcast.
That just aren't funny anymore.
Brian's here to give us those. Even though we say no's.
Being sung by a choir.
Yuletide and Eskimos. All my bros are wearing...
their brony t-shirts.
We're watching ponies on the tube.
Although it's been said... many times, many ways, we're between the pixels.
Stop staring at me, creepy guy.
You are a douche.
Merry Christmas, everyone, from Between the Pixels and PixelPerfectMag.com.
You're not going to put any of that in the podcast, are you? Merry Christmas.
Oh, we forgot to say, hey, you can follow us on Twitter at BTWNThePixels, and we should sing everything. Follow us at Twitter at W... No. Follow us on Twitter at BTWNThePixels. Follow the main site at the Pixel Perfect. If you want to email us, let us know. We're really cool. BTWNThePixels at PixelPerfectMag.com.
We should do our spooky voices instead.
Too spooky? combine them. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Wow.
Was that scary?
A little bit. I was happy and scared at the same time, so it worked.
Yeah, I was like all nostalgic, but like terrified about it.
I was nostalgically terrified.
I was thinking it was more like irony.
Hey, like us on Facebook, Pixel Perfect on Facebook. Look for it. It's out there.
And rate us 5 stars on.
Oh yeah, Facebook. You can listen to us on iTunes or Stitchers, or iTunes or Stitcher, and it really helps us out if you give us a rating. Like, or it doesn't matter. If you just rate us, it doesn't matter what you give us. Leave us some feedback so we know what you like, what you don't like about our podcast. Obviously, there's people out there listening. We want to hear your feedback.
Contrary to popular belief, we don't just do this and post it up. We actually do this for the guys listening, not ourselves. So let us know what you think.
We also edit it in between.
Yeah, there's a lot of editing involved in this podcast.
And don't forget, Barely Relevant is coming. It's now coming out every week.
Yeah, we have a side podcast we're doing, our side project.
Hush, hush.
Our main stuff's really cool, but have you heard our side stuff?
So you guys gotta like it before it's cool.
What do you think about our side stuff, Jared?
Oh, it's really cool. It's like way different. It's like almost as good as our old stuff, but you know, because like our new stuff,
better.
We changed so much and it's become so mainstream. I'm so over it.
We're not used to doing this since we took off for a little bit, so bear with us as we try to get better.
Yeah, we have a side project, barelyrelevant.com. Check it out. It's a podcast about absolutely nothing.
We can guarantee you that there's a picture of boobs on there.
I like that. It's a podcast about nothing. I like that. That should be our slogan.
Yeah, but everything that Brian suggests is what we don't go with.
It's a podcast about everything. I just changed it.
Yeah, now it's everything. That's our slogan now.
I like that too.
Anyway, see you next week.
See ya.
Goodbye.
All right, guys. It's over.